News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Nearly 9 out of 10 kids in Ireland crave family connection, especially during mealtimes. That's according to new research out today commissioned by Hines. The research also shows that 1 in 5 kids say they're always on phones or watching TV at the dinner table and meals are rushed or disrupted. And I am joined now by Richard Hogan, family psychotherapist and author of Home is Where the Start Is. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning, Ciara. This
is not surprising to you.
No, that's not surprising at all. And I would say it's 10 out of 10 children, not 9 out of 10 children. All children crave connection to their family. You know, we have an epidemic of loneliness in this country where we have the highest levels of loneliness across Europe. Teenagers are the loneliest, and particularly girls are the loneliest cohort of individuals globally speaking. And it's the devices, Ciara, are right in the middle of this. And, you know, loneliness is about mattering. You can be in a room full of people and not feel like you matter to them and feel really lonely. You can be on your own and feel really connected to everything. And if you're in your house with your, you know, I talk with parents every day here in my clinic, and I give talks every evening. And I often ask the question, what do we want to say? What do we want our children to say when they leave our house or they leave our relationship and they leave, you know, living in the orbit of our lives? What do we want to say about that? What do we want them to say? That we were all separate, eating our dinners separately up in our room. And I get it. It's very busy. We're very busy. And the pressures on parents are harder. And they're, you know, it's more pressurized than ever before. But we can all find time and we can all eke out time to sit down and have a chat. And over dinner is such an important thing. It's what I've been saying for years, Ciara. Never let dinner time conversations go to the device, because eating something is very intimate. And I just know from my own family, you know, sitting down chatting about the day, what happened in school, what did you learn, what did you do in art, you know, who did you talk to?
I totally get it. Is it that families and maybe parents are underestimating the significance or the import of staring at screens over dinner? They just don't think so, and they're kind of falling into it as a habit. Is that why we're all doing it?
Yeah, it's a bad habit, and it's easy. It seems like the easy option. You know, you come home from work here, you know, we all know it. We're tired, you're making the dinner, and the kid says, you know, I'm going to watch mine upstairs, and I'm going to watch mine here, I'm going to watch mine there. You're kind of going, look, that's handy for me. I'll just sit down here on my own and have a bit of free time to myself. And so that bad habit forms, and I don't think people understand how entrenched these bad habits become. And then you try to say, let's have a dinner Sunday, and then it's like, no, you get pushed back on it, and all of a sudden then there's no dinner time connection going on in the family. And it's vitally important for the wellness not only of the family but of our society that we have connected children that feel connected to their parents and that they feel valued and heard.
And if we have kids in our own families and in our own communities who don't feel connected, who are sitting at maybe not at the dinner table, but are sitting in front of a TV with their screen in their hand, their TV on, they're eating with a fork out of, you know, whatever, a bowl on their knee. If our kids, if that's their experience, the impact on them, is that real? Is that damaging? Richard, do we know this?
Absolutely is damaging. Fundamentally, it disrupts the neurochemistry in the brain. And, they feel painful. The same part of the brain fires when you are, you know, isolated as when you hit your hand with a hammer. And so we know the consequences of isolation in people's life. You know, if you ever want a predictor of like bad human behavior, it's isolation. It's always the lone person, you know, and we have to make sure that our children are more connected. And Ciara, honestly, if you sat in my clinic, it's really hard. This is why I talk about it so much and write about it so much. You see teenage girls particularly, and boys, but girls particularly, and you can hear the moms and dads saying to them, you know, we just want a relationship with you, you know, we just want to talk to you. And I can see the teenagers sitting there themselves thinking, what's happened in my life that I can't have a relationship with my parents, or that I'm stuck up in my bedroom under the light of this bloody device? And it's devices, you know, they're so addictive, they're so powerful, and we have to, as parents, come in there with policies.
Okay.
And we do need it, we know, so
devices, from what I'm hearing you're saying, they have so much draw, they're so addictive.
Yes.
They have so much,
yes,
dopamine hits or whatever, the little notifications, that they're constantly pulling our attention away, all of our attention, parents and kids.
And
if we don't fight back, actively fight back,
exactly,
as opposed to passively do nothing about it,
Exactly.
This is the issue. So what should parents do? Because there are going to be loads of people sitting around this morning whose kids might be still in bed at this stage because of the summer holidays, thinking, Jesus, this is us. We rarely sit at the table, and when we do, we're not talking.
Yeah, parents, exactly. And actually, another thing, Kira, summer holidays are brutal for teenagers currently. When I was a kid, summer, you know, June was like an Everest of time before you went back to school again. You couldn't wait for the summer holiday to get out and play and do all the things that you do over the summer. Currently, what I see in my clinic is that it's a terrible time, particularly if one of their friends goes away. They're on their own. They know they're going to be stuck on their device all day long. No child wants that in their lives, but they get stuck very quickly. And so if I was a parent, what I was saying, the tip I always give here is, you know, give your child a bit of respite for it. They're going to push back and they're going to be annoyed. I had an argument myself last night with my own daughter here about it. They're going to be annoyed with you, right? And they're going to tell you you're too strict. And everybody, this is literally what I heard last night, everybody else says the same. It's the old, my friend's parents are much nicer than yours.
I'm the only one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's only a bit of persuasive language there. You have to hold your parental agency here. You have to not be your child's best friend. It's so important. If you want to be your child's best friend, it's one of the most destructive things you can do as a parent, because you lose your parental agency and your authority. You have to be able to, you know, manage when they're nonplussed with you, when they're annoyed at you. And I said that to my daughter last night. I get it, you're annoyed about it. Doesn't change it. But look, you're okay to be annoyed about it. That's fair enough. But doesn't change the policy here. And this is what the policy in this family is. And you've agreed to it, and you have to live by it. And that's just it, you know. And as you age, you will change a bit, and they will get more lenient. But right now at 14, this is the rule.
So
and I'm sorry, buddy.
You're restricting phones. Yeah. During the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that there's respite, and that there it's off at a certain time of night, and it's not in the bedroom, and that at dinner time, and you see, it's really important, Kira, that you plant that early. You know, when they're younger, you plant the dinner time conversations.
It's a genuine worry, and I suspect many people listening this morning, Richard, relate very strongly to everything that you are saying, and those kind of sort of restrictions are obvious, yet sometimes we need to hear them said to us, that we need to know that, you know, we need to be told to do it. Thank you so much for joining us. That is Richard Hogan, their family psychotherapist and author of Home is Where the Start Is. And Heinz and Barnardo's have reunited for the fourth year to launch a limited edition Heinz Means Meals Beans 3-pack, available in supermarkets nationwide now, supporting vulnerable families across Ireland. And for every pack purchased, Heinz is going to donate to Barnardo's breakfast clubs. And this year's initiative focuses on bringing families together around the table and recognising the importance of family mealtimes. And for more information, or if you want to donate, you can do so at barnardos.ie/donate.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman,
in association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.